Grammy-nominated musician Marcus King has a new album that sounds like a blast from the past. It's called Youngblood. Here's the first single. Marcus King's album was produced by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, and Marcus is here with me now to talk about it. Marcus, come on in. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, it's going well. Let's talk about the sound of this album. It is big. It sounds like you're also coming from a completely different era sometimes. What were you going for?
Man, me and Dan really, from an early start, we decided we wanted a big late 60s arena rock sound, and we just chased that all the way.
Why?
Well, that's a fair question. Why? But, why is Rainbow good? You know, why not? Just feels good.
Yeah, it just works for you. Now, you're in your 20s, right? But you're hitting on something from, you say the 1960s, the 1970s. What is it about that era that appeals to you? What does sound good to you about that?
Large amplifiers and the ability to really capture the pain that I was going through and the energy I was putting into the music, it's best captured through loud amplifiers and arena-style settings. That kind of music's always really spoken to me from a young age, so it was really kind of like going back to my roots.
Well, I want to get to some of the pain that you went through making this album, but first I want to hear a little bit more music. This bit from Lie, Lie, Lie. Holy cow, man. What is happening inside of you when you are doing that, when you are just shredding on that guitar?
Man, I try not to think about anything, but I'm also letting loose of everything. It's a real transcendental state for me, the guitar is, because it's really a comfort blanket of mine. It's just a pure stream of consciousness for me when I'm releasing through that vessel, that channel, and allowing myself to just be a completely unclogged vessel for the music to come through and also express my emotions at the same time.
Well, could you help me understand how you got to a place where you were able to do that? Now, I understood you grew up in a musical family in South Carolina. You were performing at the age of 8 years old, so it sounds like music was always a big, big part of your life.
It was the number one constant in my life. We didn't really have the money to have all the video game consoles or what have you of the time, but I had guitars in the family, so that became my obsession, and it became my babysitter, and then it really just became my best friend. I could tell everything to this guitar, and it's the only thing that listened fully.
Was it a good childhood or tough?
It was good. I mean, the parts that were good were really good. My dad raised me for the most part. When I was really young, my mother, she kind of skipped town on us, which was tough. That's a tough thing for a kid. My earliest memories are crying so hard in kindergarten that I was thrown up every day because I didn't know where my mother was. And just a lot of hurt to go through as a kid, and not ideal, but I'm really thankful for it because it allowed me to learn some dedication into something that allows you to release a lot of that.
Sounds like you were able to learn how to channel some of that pain into your music, and I think that's one of the interesting things about this album. It's really loud, right? I mean, we talked about that. It rocks, and I think it's easy to miss that there's a lot going on in these songs. Let's listen to this one. It's called Rescue Me.
This pain that's been haunting me.
telling me what you were going through when you made this album? I understand you were not in such a great place.
That's a really nice way of putting it. It was a breakup that, you know, really kind of met its crescendo in the midst of a pandemic, a global pandemic. So I didn't have that musical outlet. You know, I realized how much somebody who craves validation because they were abandoned or what have you, craving that validation every night from a crowd, once that kind of goes away, especially when it goes away abruptly, after a couple of months of that, I really got very depressed. And, you know, when she did leave, all those feelings of abandonment and all that really came bubbling back up to the surface. And a decade worth of casual drug use and boozing turned into quite a problem. Luckily, I could say for myself, like a lot of others can't, that I was able to catch it. You know, in the writing of Rescue Me, that's literally what I was doing. I got off the phone with a physician buddy of mine because I was going to go to the doctor or to a facility of some sort, but I just wanted to see if I was healthy enough to finish the writing session.
So when you got scared for your life.
Yeah. So when I came back from the phone call, he said I'd be fine just to not stop everything all at once. So I got a drink and then we finished and we wrote that song. That's the first thing that was on my mind, was I need somebody to help me. A month later, I met my fiance. I'm marrying her next year.
Oh, wow. Congrats. Yeah, I'm hearing you tell that story. And, you know, I've talked to people about how the pandemic was hard for them for years now, right? I've never heard a rock star kind of put it in those terms. I wonder if you ever got to the point where you thought you wouldn't even be able to make the album at all.
Well, no, I never got to the point where I thought I couldn't make the record. And that was because I was really convinced this would be my last record and I wanted it to be perfect. And in the interest of, you know, at the time of this interview, it's Suicide Awareness Month. I was really suicidal at the time. You know, it's something you still struggle with, something that always kind of lingers around. Not so much lately, but if I may use it as a soapbox to let other people know, if they want to talk about it, you can talk about it openly. And sometimes on NPR, if you want, but it's important that we talk about it.
Hearing that from you can be so valuable to people who think that they're going through this alone. And we will link people up to some resources if you're saying something that they can relate to. And to that point, I want to listen to one more song here. This is called Blues Worse Than I Ever Had.
Drinking don't help, drugs won't make a dent. Money might change it, but I ain't got a cent. Oh, just like a cannonball.
I love that song. And one of the things it reminds me is that no matter how bad things are, like, things can change, and they do change. So how have you been able to get yourself to a point where you're feeling better?
Well, just kind of adopting healthier ways of feeling better, you know, exercise and limiting alcohol consumption to maybe 1 or 2 days a week and trying to drink responsibly, you know, all the things that sound the least rock and roll or sometimes more rock and roll, because for me, I just want to put on a great big show and I want to be around to have some youngins of my own. And I'm very, very much in love with my wife to be and with my music. So I got a lot more to say, a lot more to give. So that helps.
You know, to that point, I wonder how this experience affects your music. And what I mean by that is you made this amazing album out of a very dark time. And now you're clawing your way out of that dark time, but you're playing the same music every night, right? What's that like?
Well, I think it's, you know, kind of the same way that someone in church may give their testimony to help someone else, or someone in AA may stand up and give their story. If it helps somebody else, that helps you, because you're kind of absolving yourself of those past transgressions to a certain extent. And if my music can help somebody else through a dark time, then it did the job for me, because it helped me. It's the only thing that got me through it. So I really just want to be able to give that to someone else.
Marcus King, the new album is called Young Blood. Marcus, thank you so much for speaking with us, and we wish you the best of luck on your own personal and musical journey. We can hear your band there rehearsing in the background, so we'll let you get back to work, okay?
All right, well, thank you so much for your time.
By the way, if you or someone you know is considering suicide or is in crisis, you can call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.